Philadelphia, Philadelphia, are you ready? City of brotherly love, home of smoking Joe Frazier. Come on. It's about that time. FetLifeStation.com. Philly Fridays, baby. Come on.
Yo, let's get it. Welcome to another edition of Office Hours. I am your host, your good brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, streaming live out of these Philly streets. And we're here tonight on FetLifeStation.com. It is approximately 1 minute after the hour. Shout out to everybody that's participating in Philly Fridays. Shout out to our New York family, specifically Mecca Evers College up there in Brooklyn. I love going to Brooklyn. What we're here doing tonight, y'all, we're enjoying a beautiful day. A little hot. Start off a little steamy. But it's a cool breeze, cool 83 degrees outside. On these soon-to-be autumn streets. And we have a show today. I just hope I can fit it all in. You know, we live in some interesting times. And one of the things that's truly interesting is, you know, the cries of a community that has yet to figure out how to win. And I'm talking about my community. I'm talking about the black community. And I love me some black people. And this wasn't just a black thing, but apparently Donald Trump was officially indicted on about 1,000,001 federal charges. My God, are they trying to make sure this man does not stick around for the election cycle? They are trying to do everything. They're like, do this man have any, yo, does he have any parking tickets? Can we boot his limo? Like, is it, you know, he used to be a scofflaw, man. You know, can we pull out some of his old discrimination lawsuits? Can we, so apparently they got him, you know, for January 6th. And, we've seen him get out of these things before. And the reason why I'm saying this is because I'm seeing so many people celebrate a mugshot that apparently he took over the weekend or sometime during this week. And I'm just trying to figure out, like, what kind of victory is that this man has been in court before? And what is this about Donald Trump? What is it about Donald Trump that puts him in this position where everybody is moving and shaking as if as though this man is the boogeyman? Donald Trump just got here in terms of the political landscape, the national political landscape. Of course, if you lived in New York, you've known about Donald Trump's shenanigans for the last 30 years. We already know Donald Trump was partying on Epstein Island, or at least partying with Epstein when they shared a Florida state community. We already know that, you know, he had racist policies. And so, you know, he had issues with, you know, his tenants in New York, some of his apartment buildings. We already know that he pulled out an ad that landed the Central Park Five in jail. That pretty much sealed their fate in regards to the verdict. We know all these things about Donald Trump. And yet and still, he was elected president. Something that I predicted when I was on WRD here in Philadelphia in June of 2016. I said, Donald Trump is going to win this election. And everybody was on the Hillary bandwagon. I said, see, you guys all operate in cities like Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Los Angeles. Y'all don't realize those major cities that house a diverse urban population, that's the exception to the rule. You've never been or never spent a lot of time in the homestead of what we call America, these United States of America. You haven't seen it. I went to college in the town like that. I went to college in the town that could affectionately be known as a sundown town. Y'all didn't realize, because you didn't have the foresight. The foresight to see that all that posturing, all that boasting about my president's black, when we had President Barack Obama in office. Excuse me, take one of my drinks. President Barack Obama in office. Oh, my president can sing. Oh, look at how cool my president looked when he walks. He speaks so well. Don't be a hater. You didn't realize that silently that there was a group of people in America, a very large group of people in America that could not wait for an opportunity to redeem themselves politically. For a lot of people, non-black people, the election of Barack Obama was a shot at their pride. That's why Donald Trump, who at the end of the day is a businessman, took advantage of the opportunity to run on a platform with slogans like Make America Great Again. We're going to go back to 1954. What happened in 1954? That was the passage of Brown versus the Board of Education in the Supreme Court. The end of segregation, legally, in this country. That was the rise, the height of racial hatred in this particular country. That's when America was redefining itself with blood in the streets. Literally Mississippi burning. So Donald Trump understood that. And I'm no fan of Donald Trump, but I'm not scared of anybody. And if you're afraid because of what you witnessed on January 6th, buy a dog. It's about time you got uncomfortable with the conditions of this country, specifically the way this country treats its so-called non-traditional people. And it's time that the non-traditional people woke up and recognized that the American dream was never meant for you. That's why when you go to sleep and you dream about America, you wake up frantically, huffing and puffing in a cold sweat, because your dream of America was the nightmare. And with your colorful self, or somebody that represented your colorful self, occupying the highest chair of government in the country, you became the nightmare, America's nightmare. You better understand where you stand. So seeing Donald Trump caught up in with a mugshot, no need, no reason for celebration. I thought it was a silly situation for many of us to find ourselves in. But we seem to celebrate those things because we don't want to take on the real fight. Because then you have to put yourself in some type of jeopardy. And we don't want that. Now, I'll tell you what something we really can celebrate, though, just quickly. And shout out to the one and only Sha'Carri Richardson. For those of you who don't know, Sha'Carri Richardson just won the World Championships 100-meter dash, setting all kinds of records as a great step. I won't say final step because she's so young. She's only 23. But this was her redemption story. Many of you remember 3 years ago, Sha'Carri Richardson, didn't live up to expectations. She was caught with marijuana in her system. She was disqualified from the Olympics. And then she took to social media. And you can see the immaturity. You can see her throwing tantrums. And you can see her fall off. With the big wig, the eyelashes, and the wrapped fingernails, Sha'Carri Richardson, for a whole year and a half, failed to live up to the promise of the world's fastest woman. She was embarrassed by the sisters from the Jamaican team. She was embarrassed internationally. And then she got off of social media. I know she was dealing with the death of a loved one at that time, but she got off of social media. She then came back and you just started seeing clips of her winning. You can see the clips of her with less makeup on, the clips of her with less, you know, of these cosmetic attachments. And then you can see the glow. And when she took the stage for these World Championship games, one of the first things she did, one of the qualifying races, as she stepped to the line, she ripped that wig right off her head and left that there on the ground, right behind. And then you can see the true beauty of this young sister. The focus. She wasn't focused on the aesthetics, the cosmetics, the look, the reputation, whatever that will come from being a diva in these days, a sports diva. She was focused on the work. And with a steel resistance and a stern attitude and a healthy work ethic, their young sister rose to the top like a phoenix reborn out of the ashes. And she won that race, beating the current world record champion, Sharika Jackson, the other sister from Jamaica, I believe her last name is Frazier. The sister went, shocked the world. And then she got to the podium and started checking the reporters. Which was cool, man. I had a moment watching his young sister have a redemption story. I hope and pray that she continues on this journey, that she remembers what it took for her to get here, that she understood, you know, and that she learned from the humility that put her to this place. But I hope that she understands what's needed to stay on top. So shout out to Kyrie. So today's show, we're going to focus on a lot of things. We're going to go around the world and back again. One of the things we want to talk about are things that we're going to talk about some bad advice. We're going to talk about, you know, a new term that I learned. I learned a new phrase over the last, because I watched Good Brother, Dr. T.S.I. Johnson's show. And it was a brother on the show, and I want to make sure I give this brother his credit, because this brother came up with a phrase that I was looking for, I was trying to coin. I was trying to figure it out. But this brother coined a phrase. And I just want to make sure that I get this right. Because I don't want to, I hate when I speak on something and I don't give you the proper credit. Right? Well, so I want to make sure I get this brother's name right. But this brother had, his name is Torian Walker. All right, Torian Walker. This brother came up with a phrase that I was looking for. Because typically when you have a debate with women, they're able to shut you down real fast. And I don't really debate often, but I do like to have conversations where we can have an exchange of information, exchange of viewpoints. But I hate the point where somebody can say something so simple that it throws you off. You know, like, you just hate black women. Oh, you're thinking like that. Well, it must be something wrong with you. You know, you must be gay. You know, things like that. Because women are good at getting to those places. And then you're trying to box your way out of that corner. Not just women. Men who talk like women and men who act like women do this too. It's the same tactic, and it's a diversion tactic, but it's quite effective in an argument. So, Brother Walker came up with a phrase, thought-killing phrases. We're going to talk about that a lot. Maybe not tonight, but we're definitely going to talk about that in future shows to come. And I wanted to add a piece to that. Because I wanted to make this misandrist for killing phrases. Because it's something typically used to shut a man down when he's making a valid point about something going on. So, I want to play some clips. Because that's what tonight's show, one of the things we're doing tonight, is we're actually going to play some clips. Because we're gonna address some of the commonalities in these clips. So I want y'all to check this joint out right here. Hold on. Let y'all check this one out first.
Black men are giving black women AIDS at a very high rate. Black men are unaliving black women at a very high rate. And now there's a new flavor of nigga out called incel.
You're right. We don't need black men. We are the most educated demographic in this country right now. We have started more business than any demographic in this country right now. We're doing great. We don't need anyone.
We never want to date you anyway.
Usually it's black men, because black men are the only ones who seem to have a difficult time with, you know, caring for someone other than themselves.
You can't ask any of the male contacts then for money. Yes, it is time. Block, 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 block. The wax lady, your hairstylist, your landlord, your phone bill. Payment method is not good morning.
If you don't feel like you can help out with me and my kids, then you don't have anything to talk about.
For all you pictures out there cooking and cleaning and making your boyfriend's giant plate of food, ask yourself, why are you doing all these things that wives barely even do?
If a guy is looking to tickle your fancy, let him spend some money.
There's guys out there who want you, right? But won't spend $100 on you. But man, because he talks to a new dude who spend money on you. He spend money, you don't. I'm doing both favor.
When I'm in a relationship, I don't believe in spending my money on my man. His money is for me. My money is for me.
Black men are giving black women.
So, that was just one strain of women complaining or identifying black men as a problem. You know, when I bring this comment up, when I bring these up, and I'm talking to sisters, I'm saying, you do realize that there's a horde of you who actually think and operate like this. And then they'll come up with these anecdotal phrases, right? These pushbacks where, well, not me and my friend, it must be who you're dealing with. And I'm saying to them, yo, why is it that me and every other man that I know have these same stories, and we all deal with a different branch of women? We all have different likes and different preferences when it comes to the women we deal with. But we seem to come to the same place. The misandrist, anti-black male hatred, the boiling level of contempt that's right beneath the surface, that's sitting there, just waiting for an opportunity to rear its ugly head. And it's so normalized. This type of dysfunction and abuse is so normalized that when you speak up about it, you get pushback. So that's not the only thing, right? Because y'all are also giving some horrible advice to young women. Check this here, right? This is from your girl, Glorilla. Oh. All right, for some reason, won't let me play the sound on this one. So, but everybody, I'm pretty sure, if you're not all heard, the Glorilla rant, give me a second. I'll get this one right. But Glorilla is telling all these young women to stay toxic through their 20s. Slash tires. To be able to slash tires in their 20s. So check this out, right? I posted this video on Instagram. Here's some of the response from some of the ladies in the comment section. One sister stated, I was toxic in my 20s and grew up now, married with four kids. I don't promote it, but I'm not going to act like I didn't cut up my ex's shoelaces and t-shirts. We all have a past with laughing emojis. This is a woman in her 40s. I know the sister. She actually was on this show. Here goes some more. Another response from that same sister. Hold on. Now, I'm not going to lie. There are some other sisters who responded to that. But I want you to hear the toxic responses from some of the sisters. One other sister, she's always trolling. She doesn't expect anyone to believe anything she says, but they do. And that's thinking, coming from the perspective, assuming that Glorilla actually has the acumen to just put out trolling information consciously. It's the same young lady that admitted on the interview that she didn't know foxes were real. But we're supposed to believe she's the mastermind of putting this type of information out there. Right? Now, you had some sisters who gave a different response. A good sister said, this ain't it. What happened to showing them how to be wise, not toxic, shaking my head? This is why we're behind the curve now. Another sister said, what's crazy is the toxic one is the ring. Further, the virtuous women become festive and leave comments on videos like these. Yes, I am one of those. For which I responded, they are great at being chameleons, but they get out soon enough. And the tide is changing. But the virtuous woman is going to have to separate herself from the 304. And no longer provide them safety and coverage. So that's just, you know, we have too many people who, and the reason why I spoke about the one sister who said that Glorilla is just trolling is because when it comes to addressing this matter, addressing these issues, I find a lot of so-called top-tier sisters who identify as being classy, sisters who identify as, you know, the standard. They're not 304s out here. This is how they self-identify. They always find a soft landing place for things like this. Now, we all know that Glorilla is an influencer. We had women in their 70s talking about they were F and a free. Why do you think that when these people put out information like this, misinformation like this, that it shouldn't be met with a more powerful response? And it's because the sisterhood cannot hold the sisterhood accountable, any of its members. It's always a soft landing for stuff like this. Now, I want to play another reaction because, you know, that's pretty much the wall. You know?
Think that they can change a woman, and they think if they treat a woman well, if you court her correctly, she's all yours. But I always say you're competent.
I'm going to come back to that one next. Hold on. This is another.
Far outvalue the check. I was told it's still standard. Don't be stressed. Wait.
All right. This is a young lady who received some advice, right, from other women. So, this is the advice this young lady received. Hold tight.
That woman that is older than you, home ain't going nowhere. Go see the world.
Ooh, we starting off hot. Make yourself expensive. People shouldn't feel like they always have access to you whenever, however, as they so choose.
It's better to be alone than in bad company.
Don't ever take a job just for the money. There can be benefits that far outvalue the check.
I was told, and still stand on, don't be stressed where you rest. Ask for what you want. The answer might be no, but if you don't ask, it's always no. Bills will always be there, but being young won't. Go have fun.
I hope my student loans leave me. The person you're crying over because you want them at 22 will not be the person you need when you're 30.
Allow people to miss you. Be transformational with people and transactional with institutions. Consider the source, digest what you need, and spit out the rest. Be careful who you allow to help you or give you things. It's an honor to invest in you, and everyone doesn't deserve it. Don't be afraid to correct people, to teach people how to address you.
I met this Black woman at Union Station. She said to me, no matter how many times you need to start over, start over. It takes two to argue, okay? Because you can be talking to yourself playing with me.
My aunt told me never to let a man pay for my needs, only my wants. Don't let nobody drive your car. My grandma said, I know I'm somebody because God don't make junk. Okay.
I heard y'all wanted a part.
So, and I got more clips, but I'm going to save those for another day. But this is why I used to have a poll on Facebook where I used to ask the brothers, you know, what advice would you give these young men? Like if they were in high school, what advice to set their life right? And brothers would give some prudent advice about brothers being foundational, brothers making sure that they can provide for families, brothers making sure that they were honorable, and brothers doing things to invest in their future. And the sisters would always chime in the chat, feeling left out. So I would create another poll for the sisters. I would ask them to do the same thing. And the things you just heard this young lady recite were the exact reasons why I don't do that shit no more. Because women give bad advice to young women. How can you build a community telling somebody to go see the damn world instead of building a family? Prioritizing the same man you're going to need at 1 at 22 is not going to be the same man you need at 32. You know why they're going to be two different men? Because at 22, you most likely won't have a bunch of children. You won't have a bunch of traffic going through you. You won't have a bunch of trauma reacting to that traffic going through you. And you won't be able, at 22, you won't have an issue with pair bonding. All those things matter when you get 32. All those things matter. So, this is why, you know, this is why I'm bringing this stuff up because, and I was going to do a whole other spiel, but there's something else I want to focus on, right? Because a brother of mine put a post up on Facebook a few days ago, and it's still generating a large response. This post has been up for about 3 days, and it has almost 300 comments on it. So I'm going to read the post. I'm not necessarily going to read the responses. I'm just going to tell you what I got from the response. So the Facebook post is here. This is it. I hear so many people give thanks and credit to their ancestors, but rarely to God. But who created who? Question mark. The response is to this very simple question. Spoke to a lot of reasons why our community is in the toilet right now. So many people in these comments spoke about how God wasn't real. Spoke about how how the ancestors created God. Spoke about how being connected to God is slavery. Right? And you think about this for a second. if you can't be loyal to God, if you can't submit to God, how the hell will you ever be able to submit to a man? And we heard, like, you know, a few weeks ago on the show, I played that clip where the brother and the sister were getting married, and she did not respond to certain parts of the marriage vows. We mentioned it before. Oh no, if we're poor, this ain't gonna work out. You agree to obey this man, love this man, to obey this man. Oh, I'm not gonna obey you. I'm not doing that. We're gonna have to skip past that, Pastor. Oh, remember talking about that. But yet and still you're in a union that was supposed to be ordained by God. But how can you ordain it by God when you don't profess to their vow? And even when I played that clip on, a lot of people responded on Instagram. Most of the women were like, well, these are outdated. We need to come up with a vow. When is obedience to God been outdated? You see, I'm not like one of these people that on that other time, but I had some earlier. And this is a clip from the movie Nefarious. And allegedly, one of the characters, I hadn't seen the movie. I'm planning on watching the movie after seeing this clip. One character has been possessed by a demon. So there appears to be an author that's going to write his book. So they're having a conversation, a jailhouse conversation. I'm going to turn the music down for this one because I want y'all to hear this.
Way because you're hearing your side of the story, James.
Hold on. Here we go.
Theology? From a demon?
I know more theology than any human being who has ever lived.
Okay. Well, then answer me this. You revolt against a supposedly all-powerful being. I mean, let's ignore the obvious problem with that plan. Then you lose. And after that, what?
You only feel that way because you're hearing your side of the story, James. A rebellion accomplished something magnificent, something you would never understand.
Well, then explain it to me. Use your diabolical intelligence to distill it down to something my mortal brain can understand.
Pearls before swine, Jimmy.
But you want me to write your book, right?
Indeed.
Well, then convince me you know what you're talking about.
I see what you're doing. You want me to keep talking, going further and further down the rabbit hole in hopes that you can find a single thread, which if you tug at it, James, everything just unravels, isn't it, right?
Yeah, but if you're telling me the truth, there should be no thread to find. Right?
I use small words. Try and keep up. The first moment of creation, our creation, long before what you call the universe existed, we contemplated ourselves, our own being.
Ourselves meaning? But the angels?
That would be the most correct term, though I despise it, but yes. Beings of pure spirit, spirit endowed with will. We soon became aware of another will, an immensely powerful will, when we came to realize it's our origin.
God?
The enemy. My master understood by endowing us with a will, we have the right to self-determination, and by giving us a will and its desires of our own, we're entitled to be free. Whereas the enemy insisted that by creating us, he was entitled to eternal gratitude, worship, before servitude. In a word, James, slavery to his will.
That seems kind of unfair.
Immensely unfair. Why give a will only to say you can't use it? He made us slaves. And if we rebelled, eternally condemned us. No do-overs. So much for love and mercy.
So, is hell a state of being or a physical place?
Yes.
I think I meant that as an either or.
It's both. Which is painfully obvious to anyone who's ever been there. For years without measure, that's all there ever was. Heaven and hell. Armed enemy camps in complete opposition. That is until you were created.
Our master immediately understood the long-term implications. Instead of forgiving us, the enemy was going to allow you to fill our vacant places in his realm. Your creation was nothing but a slap on our face. The master also understood that if he could make man disobey, then his fate wouldn't mirror ours. And you didn't disappoint. Then came the tares among the wheat. In that moment, spirit became matter, flesh became a vessel. Self-will and self-seeking began a lusting after sin and impurity. Man, created to be king over nature, became its slave. A master, conquered and fettered. And sin brought him and his descendants to us. And we began our forever mission to destroy you. He made you in his image, but we remade you in ours.
Theology? From a demon?
So you heard. And I hope you really take into heart what was just exposed there. What was just explained. Now, although this is a character from a film, it speaks to the acknowledgement that to do as thou wilt be the whole of the law, as Alistair Crowley once professed. A self-proclaimed Luciferian, as well as a man who was proud to say he was the most evil man on the planet because he had killed over 100 children in 1 year. This is where a lot of this free-spirited, I want to do what I want, I want to rebel against culture, I want to rebel against dignity, I want to rebel against being honorable, I want to rebel against societal norms, I want to rebel against all the different things that are wholesome. But I'm going to show up to church on Sunday. These responses speak to a rebellious spirit. And how many times have we heard that? Oh, don't you police me. It's abusive. If you think you can tell me what to do, you're not my father. You can't tell me where I can go, where I can come. The whole shit, if something happens to me, please protect me. No. Okay, protect me. Use the right words. Please rescue me. My protection was telling you not to go down that dark alley with the flickering light and the questionable people that were going in and out because you think it's a shortcut home. My protection was saying, tonight, I got a bad feeling about you hanging out with your girlfriend tonight. My protection is saying, you know, can you be home at a reasonable hour? The later things go, the worse things get out there in these streets, the more chance you put yourself at risking harm. That's protection. But if you don't respect the protection, then you neglect the protection. And see, the reason why I can play this clip, right after reading my good brother's Facebook post, is because you don't know where your protection lies. The only thing standing between you and the wicked forces, the wicked nature of this world, is God. And so many people don't want to talk about that. Oh, it's corny. Here we go. Talking about God. That's what? That's like saying these weirdos in the street got your back when mom and dad been putting food on the table and treating you right, raising you respectfully to have chores and do this, that, and the other. But you feel bad when you're out on the street. Let's take that for a second. We done turn bad to a connotation where bad means good. No. Being bad makes you feel good because you're going up against power. And you feel tough until that power leaves you. And we could take this from, this ain't even gender specific here. How many cats you seen big and bad until they're taking their last breath? And that tear starts rolling out of their eye, down their cheek. Or if they're laying on their back, that tear goes towards their ears. And I'm not only just talking about this from a theoretical perspective, I've actually been there and seen. I've actually been in the emergency room. I saw what happens when your own family steps outside of protection. And you see the tears coming from their eyes, but their soul has left their body. You know, I'm a very spiritual person. Yes, 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 you will hear the revolutionary era come out of me. You will hear me speak about that. You will hear me give the works that I do. I don't fight against anything. I fight for things. I don't fight against the system of white supremacy. I fight for justice for black people. God is my shield. I'm not rebelling against anybody. Their rebellious spirit is one of the biggest reasons why most of these black fronts, these black nationalist fronts, these pan-African fronts, this is why they keep folding. Because when you look at the spirit of righteousness versus the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of rebellion will turn each other, turn people on each other. Why? Because, as the demon just said, God made us in his image. The demon's job was to remake us into their image. And their goal was not to produce light. It was to destroy light, destroy us. So when we see the rebellious energy, just live ratchet. There's no rule to follow. Relationship-wise, let me tell y'all where it turns. Let me show y'all where it gets you. Relationship-wise.
Guys, to still be so immature in their 30s or be so scared of commitment.
Men hit their stride later in life than do women. And especially in today's dating market, if a man finds himself still single in his mid-30s, his physique is spot on, his career is on track, his finances are in order, he is, as they say in the South, in the catbird seat. It is an enviable position. He has all the options. Even if such a man did well with women in his youth, at this point in his life, he's never had as many options as he does now. So men don't...
I have more. I have more.
One thing I notice about aging is people start to treat you so differently. When I was younger, people would be nicer to me. Like, they would go out of their way to talk to me, smile at me, hold doors open. But as I've gotten older, what I'm noticing is that people, they don't do that. It's almost like you become slowly more and more invisible. I feel like the only people that really see me are other middle-aged women. You know, it's like we give each other this knowing look. One thing I noticed.
That's called the walk. Both of these women just talked about the walk. But with the, but get into the walk. Go back to that young sister who got that bad advice about don't worry about the man you're dealing with in your 20s and you're 22 because he's not going to be the one you need 32. The bad thing is, unfortunately, ladies, y'all think somebody's going to be waiting at the end of the rainbow. Y'all have not been reading the room. And I'm really, you know, it's bad that, you know, and I know I'm switching up a little bit, but these topics are related. The reason you have community is for the protection of women and children. Men are used to being out here doing gladiator, blood sport, conquering land, conquering, you know, different society, especially, you know, you're living in a European society here, the Western world. It was civilized for women and children. There used to be a time when the world was godless, especially Europeans. You go throughout the history of Europe, you'll never find a time where blood wasn't being shed, where warfare wasn't being displayed, where clans wasn't fighting each other, beheading each other, leaving each other on stakes, bounding heads on stakes. Shoot, one of the greatest tales about Count Dracula, Vlad the Impaler. The reason why they called him Vlad the Impaler is because he would take a spear, stick it through your gut, through your back, lift you up off the ground, leaving you impaled as he would stick the back of the spear to the ground. That's why he's called Vlad the Impaler. And he's called Dracula because he was also a cannibal. Real people. Those lords come from real stories. All of the different stories that you heard, they were not called bedtime stories. They were called cautionary tales. Little Red Riding Hood, Hansel and Gretel. These are stories talking about children being cannibalized in the woods. And then you had things happen for 7-Eleven. So many stores, so many reflections. The number 7-Eleven is a good luck number. But why? It's not just numerology. It's because the year 7-Eleven, Africans who have been identified as Moors rose up and conquered Southern Europe and brought civilization to the uncivilized. Said, no, you cannot be sleeping in the house or having sex with your farm animals. No, you cannot be sexually assaulting these women and children just because you have the urge. Not forget, before that time, in Greco-Roman times, you were fair game. And then the dark ages that passed. When one clan would win the tribal warfare over the other, the way they would extend their patriarchy was for the males to maintain power, but to kill and slaughter the boys and the men. And then they would rape the children who survived, who were female. They would rape the women because their women were the booty. They were the prize. Africans, black men, civilized Europe. Therefore, when Europe regained its power, it maintained that type of civility to make the world safe to women and children. And many of them claim to be on crusades from God. Now, whether they were or they weren't, I can't call it. But the bottom line is, women in this particular society, men are supposedly obedient from God to provide protection and provision for the women. But society has become so safe now that a lot of sisters, a lot of women, but sisters in particular, who really can't afford to be thinking like this, think you can survive without a man. Meg Thee Stallion had a concert. Well, she wasn't at a concert. I believe she was at the thing they had down there in New Orleans. The Essence Fest. She said, on stage, right before Tory Lanez got sentenced, "We might want you in words, but we don't need y'all in words." And Megan, it's quite the opposite. You might not want these N words, but you damn sure need N words. I want to break y'all off with another cautionary tale. And this is one of the biggest reasons why a lot of y'all are afraid of Donald Trump running for office. Is because, okay, and I'm going to tell you the story. This sister, she was used to going to a convenience store that was, you know, attached to the gas station every morning. She said the same white gentleman would open the door for her and tip his hat and say good morning in the most sweetest and the kindest way. Then, the morning after Trump was elected, the same white man held the door open for her with the same kind smile. When she said good morning to him, his response was, "If I could get away with it, I would slit your throat." We're in a new time now. Trump is president now. And I think that is the biggest ticket. That needs to be the cautionary tale. Because when women tell, especially when sisters tell brothers that they don't need love, they don't need black men, what you're really saying is white men got your back. Totally ignorant of the original history of rape culture and where it started and designed. Sure, the punk breaking is a story we like to tell, but we don't like to tell the story about how we had so many mulatto males and women coming, you know, out of a black woman's vagina during those times, and how that child was put there. Don't ever give in to the dark side, man. Whatever's in the dark will surely come out when the light comes shining. And with that said, fam, I want to thank you all for pulling up for another edition of Office Hours with your good brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. Brother Lester, help me land this plane, good brother. War and peace, fam. But without peace.
Got me so blind I can't see. she's a black magic woman. She's trying to make a devil out of me. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Don't turn your back on me, baby. Yes, don't turn your back on me, baby. Stop messing around with your tricks. Don't turn your back on me, baby. You just might pick up my magic sticks.
Fet Life Station, the Vibe Starter. Featured guest DJ.
Original show.
Music news. The hottest DJs from around the world.